Welcome back to His Time. It is Monday morning, which means it is time to talk with our regular guest, Pastor Joshua Scheer from Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Scheer.
Good morning, Andy. How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing all right. Back in the saddle again. How are things going for you this week?
Things are going well.
Good, good. Well, what do you have for us this week at Brothers of John the Steadfast?
Well, I think you mentioned earlier a little bit about St. Patrick's Day today, so we celebrate that commemoration today as far as celebrating God's good work through missionaries, especially the one that made it to Ireland and so forth. So I have a couple articles, actually, that have to do with kind of our witness, our confession before the world. One entitled, On Making the Sign of the Cross. And this is a very simple article by Pastor Carl Weber, who's a pastor up in northern Minnesota. And it's a great little article that goes through the very practical things about, you know, why we would make the sign of the cross, how we're not required to make the sign of the cross, but of course, like where Luther encouraged us to make the sign of the cross in the morning and the evenings. And then he also gives, you know, the very practical explanations of how you do it. And then he also talks about something that it ties in with Scripture, that there's different times in Scripture where it talks about things being marked on foreheads, and in particular he goes to Exodus 28 with Aaron's forehead being marked. He goes to Ezekiel when there's different things that are marked on people's on foreheads there. And then he also, of course, goes to Revelation with those marked with a forehead, and the ones who are sealed by having a mark put on their forehead that they're not to be harmed. And of course, that's the ultimate comfort of your baptism, which is ultimately what the sign of the cross is meant to remind you of, is I am baptized. You are baptized. And so these are important things. And so learning how to make the sign of the cross can be a very, very good thing. In fact, I think Pastor Weber really touches upon a subject that probably isn't covered all that much about making the sign of the cross. He went through Scripture and he found the gestures involved with prayer. And he found, you know, outstretched hands, bowing your head, closing your eyes, folding your hands, kneeling, prostrating yourself to the ground. But he also then said, you know, when making the sign of the cross, as Luther encourages us to do at the beginning of our prayers. And he says that, you know, all seven of these have been employed at different times in the church's history, and all are, of course, quite acceptable for that very reason. But then he also mentions how six of those are used by non-Christians, Muslims in particular. You can see those kind of examples of prayer, bodily positions taking shape and so forth. But instead, making the sign of the cross is uniquely Christian. And so how making the sign of the cross can be part of your confession before the world, part of your witness before the world, because it sets your prayer apart, that there's no other religion that makes the sign of the cross before prayer or before anything else. And so he actually makes a good suggestion that one of the things that we need to consider when we're thinking about, okay, well, I'm free to make the sign of the cross, or I'm not free to make the sign of the cross, is that making it can actually be a very unique Christian thing to do. And so a great encouragement in that way, in a world that is, of course, adopting all kinds of spiritualities, that sometimes it's hard to differentiate, okay, what's Christian and what's not. And so just a simple action like making the sign of the cross might just set that apart. And so he ends it with a good quote, and it says, to make the sign of the cross is a matter of Christian freedom. You may or may not feel comfortable doing it yourself, or you may not do it as often as your neighbor. That's okay. But when the sign of the cross is made, whether by the pastor or people, let this be the proclamation. Christ has died for your sins upon the cross. In baptism he shares that cross with you. Because you share in his cross, you are a child of God and are precious in his sight. And I think that's of course the ultimate personal reminder for yourself as you do make the sign of the cross, but also that can be part of your confession before the world as they see you make the sign of the cross. So I thought it was extremely good and helpful to bring in that point of confession as far as making it very unique when people see the sign of the cross, there's no question. It's I think it's probably much the same as nowadays when you see so many different folks wearing the four directional cross. You know, that the normal bare cross, can be used as a religious symbol in many different religions. But then when you see a crucifix, there's really no doubt what you're actually talking about. So I think there's time in our culture to think about, okay, this is something uniquely Christian, and that's probably a really good thing for us to think about and to think about doing. So I think it's a good idea. I don't know about you, but I think be a good witness before the world.
Certainly, you're right. There's a big difference between a bare cross and one that shows who the Savior is, who the one is that died on that cross.
Exactly. I mean, this is all, of course, in Christian freedom. You can or can't. You don't even have to, But in the same respect, in the world around us, where everybody seems to be wearing bare crosses, whether you're worshiping the Egyptian gods or anything else, that, boy, you throw the body of Jesus on there and people know who you're talking about. So there's no confusion at that point. So it can be a very good thing. The other article I've got that I wanted to focus on was by a new LCMS missionary, Pastor Josh Gale, and he wrote an article entitled "Volunteerism and the Church." And in this article, he's reacting against another article which wrote about how mission trips, in particular, kind of like short-term mission trips, as they've often been called. There was an article written that really denigrated short-term mission trips, made them sound like they were pretty much worthless. Well, Pastor Gale, coming from his situation at Philadelphia Lutheran Ministries, working in urban Philadelphia with homeless folks and so forth, he's actually seen the great value on the missionary side of short-term mission trips, as they've called. He says he likes to call them mercy trips, which is a great word for it, because, of course, if it's just about helping take care of physical needs and human needs and so forth, hey, that's mercy. That's good. And he, of course, locates mission, of course, around the altar and the pulpit, and that's what Philadelphia Lutheran Ministries did, is they got a church and they had to start forming a congregation out of homeless folks who were then becoming Lutherans. And Pastor Gale talks a lot about his experiences having groups of people from across the country come to Philadelphia, and some would help swing hammers, and some would help do those kind of things. Others would help with other kinds of needs. It was all geared towards helping the missionary, the resident missionary, who's preaching and teaching and administering the sacraments, forming Christ's congregation, as God makes it happen through those things, and how the people would come and help him and support him and provide that human care and provide that mercy care, which is a wonderful gift to people as well. He does, of course, give some good cautions, and that is, of course, he cautions about, all of these trips need to be sensitive to local needs. In particular, he gives the example of, you don't want to take a bunch of eyeglasses with you if there's a local village person who makes eyeglasses for the village and you're going to put him out of business. You want to be sensitive to those kind of things. He wants to talk about, or he talks a little bit about how they want to avoid the white savior complex. That is, that we're here to take care of everything, and we want to avoid that. But also he talks about the great value that happens to the people that go, in that they get exposed to this different Christianity, this different group of Christians, this mission, and it helps helps them understand it, helps them when they go back home to maybe even talk more about it so that others would understand it more. And then he also talked about the effect upon the people that he served, seeing these older Lutherans amongst them. His folks were new Lutherans, new converts, and to see the more mature ones show up and to discuss things with them and hear their experiences, how encouraging it was for the new Lutherans, that there are these older, mature ones who would come and helped and shared their faith and helped encourage the others in their faith. So I think it's a very reciprocal relationship. And in the end, you know, of course, it's just, we don't need to bash short-term missions. Certainly, short-term missions should have a point, and they should be thoughtful about local considerations. They should be really geared towards, you know, let's help the missionary the way the missionary needs help. And but we certainly still need those folks. It can be a real blessing to the church all over, whether it's the local one with the mission, or it can be helpful to the church that sends off the short-term missions groups. So I think Pastor Gale does a good job of drawing all those things out, and it can be a very, very good thing. Again, reacting against an article which kind of makes it sound like don't bother trying to go on a short-term mission trip, which is probably not the best rule to follow.
I agree that going outside of our own backyard, while there are needs in our own backyard that certainly need to be served and we need to be attentive to, going outside of our own comfort zone can be helpful as well, as you said, to help us see that see Christians in the rest of the world and realize that the church is not just us in our own little neighborhood, but it goes well beyond that.
Absolutely. And that's a great encouragement.
Mm-hmm. How we can see our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world and confess the faith boldly with them, to worship with them, to encourage them, and also to be encouraged by them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, very good. Pastor Scheer, it's always good to talk with you. Anything else from Brothers of John the Steadfast before we wrap up our time?
Just looking forward to Concord Matters. I think I'm hosting this Saturday. So this Saturday I'll have guests from Table Talk Radio. That is Pastor Brian Wolfman and Pastor Evan Gagelein will be my guests. And I think we're discussing the sixth or seventh commandments. So
very good. Well, to read more of the articles mentioned by Pastor Scheer, you can go to steadfastlutherans.org, steadfastlutherans.org. Check out the articles there. Lots and more in addition to what we spoke about this morning at Brothers
Absolutely.
Of John the Steadfast. Well, thanks so much, Pastor Scheer. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Have a blessed week, Andy.
Thanks, you too. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with Dr. Bob Weiss. Stick around for more of his time right here on Worldwide KFUO.